It is good to see you with us here at Valorous Church today, and we are believing God for great things. I know a lot of you have been out to the festivals this week. Come on, some people are still out at the festivals, but we are honored you chose to come and worship with us today. We are believing in the greatness of God. We're believing that we gather together here every single week, obviously to worship a risen Jesus who's coming back one day, but also to inspire our faith to keep on keeping on in the meantime. And so, again, if you're new with us, we've entitled this room as the arena. And the reason we did that, not to just have a cool word, but we really believe that every time we get together, we're to inspire each other in this fight called faith in this life to keep on keeping on. So we want people to gather in here, sing these great songs of praises, look at each other, engage with one another so we can inspire each other to keep on moving forward during this life. Because sometimes life can be very difficult. But what God does is he deposits his spirit in us to coach us to greatness, and he gathers us together, a family, a church. That's what a church is a group of people who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light. And when we gather together, we're to inspire each other to be all God has created us to be in this world. And so, again, we're honored you chose to worship with us today. I want to talk a little bit today on the subject of in the meantime. In the meantime. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open it up to Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at a few short verses there is where we'll take off today. Titus chapter 2 is basically in the middle of a letter that a gentleman wrote, a young pastor. His name was Titus. We would know this in the church world. It's in our New Testament. We would know this letter as an epistle or a pastoral epistle, a pastoral letter. It's written from one pastor, Paul, to another pastor, Titus. And what he instructs Titus to do is to set up leadership on the island of Crete. And he reminds him of who he is in Christ Jesus. And he reminds him just to keep on keeping on. And this is where we find ourselves is in that letter today. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, this is what he pens to young Titus. He says, "For the grace of God has been revealed." Has been. Everybody say has been. That's past tense. He says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world." That's present tense, in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to a wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. That's future tense. So the Bible says that God has revealed his grace, past tense, and we're to live in this present age, in this world presently, with a focus on the future. He says we're to focus on Jesus Christ, who will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So that's a remarkable passage of scripture because it reveals something to us that maybe many of us are not engaged with. And what it reveals to us is we walk through this life, there is a grace meaning unmerited favor, God's grace has been revealed to humanity, and we're to operate in that grace as we look forward to something in the future, what will be the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his return. And so currently we live in this space between what has happened and what will happen, and we are to live in this current space with that focus and move life forward. So the grace of God has been revealed. What is the grace of God? Again, it's the unmerited favor of our Creator. And the Bible says now he has revealed his favor to humanity. What is his favor? The Bible says he came from heaven to earth in the form of a human, Jesus. He has revealed God in the flesh to us. The Bible says that this God in the flesh, this Jesus, faced every single temptation that we would be tempted by in life. He died on a cross. He gave his life's blood for us. And it's something we didn't deserve. And so God's grace has been revealed to us. God gave his life's blood on a cross so we could be forgiven of our sin and have a connection to our Creator. The grace of God has been revealed. But the question is, have you put your faith in this grace? God's grace has been revealed. God gave his grace when he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us as believers at Pentecost. That's God's grace. That's God's unmerited favor. None of us deserve the Holy Spirit in our life, but we get to have the Holy Spirit in our life. It's unmerited favor. God's graced you with a gift to operate in this world connected to the local church, the body of Christ, and he gave us a special gift to do certain things well, is what the scripture says, and he's gifted us with a local church to use those certain things, and that's God's grace to us. God has graced us, unmerited favor. He's given us his word, what humanity is all about from the front to the back. He's given us a revelation of the story that is finished after Jesus returns. That's amazing grace. So we have unmerited favor in this life. God has revealed his grace to us. Now the question is, will we operate by faith in his amazing grace? Will we trust his grace as we look forward to what God is still going to do? And so the Bible teaches us that we can operate in this evil world with the goodness of God in our life and overcome obstacles, overcome challenges, and move life forward. But if we're going to do that, we have to operate by faith. We operate by faith in his grace, and we look forward to what is still yet to come. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that should motivate you through life as you face life and face obstacles to be everything that God has created you to be. Because what you know is that you've got a picture of the finished work of Christ and his great return of when he will come back one day and put all evil in the abyss. That should be a motivating factor to us. In other words, we should operate in life with prize eyes, not with just a pout on our face. And today, that's what I want to talk about, is operating in life with prize eyes, looking forward to what is still yet to come, operating in the power of God's amazing grace. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, therefore, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds. Everybody say set. That means fixate. Don't be distracted. That means to focus on what is still yet to come. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In other words, the Bible says right here that one day he is going to be revealed again. And when he comes the second time, I need you to know that the Bible describes him as coming as a victorious king, as one who is going to put all evil in the abyss. And the Bible says that we who are called out of darkness into the wonderful light, who have trusted in his amazing grace and begin to operate in that amazing grace, the Bible says that he'll come back to take us one day like his lovely bride. And we're going to be able to operate in this world without evil in this world. But in the meantime, how are we to operate? It's simply with prize eyes, understand that accidents will happen. Understand trouble is coming your way. Trouble is going to come into your relationships. Trouble is going to come into your life in all kinds of forms and fashions. But the Bible says that we can operate in this amazing grace and get through those challenges as we look forward to the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, and see what God can do. I call it operating with prize eyes. So how do we operate with these prize eyes? Well, I wrote down a few things and you may want to jot them down too, but prize eyes starts where they begin to think about the end. They put the end first. It starts where they are, but they have the end in mind. Prize eyes starts where you are, but you have the end in mind. A great example of this is a woman that is described in Proverbs 31. We know it as the Proverbs 31 woman. This lady operate with prize eyes. The Bible refers to her as a woman of valor, as a woman of valor. And I do believe that this description of this lady in Proverbs 31 is a picture of you and me today operating as the local church. In other words, it's a snapshot of a bride who basically had been entrusted to a king, and she operated in her daily life as if she belonged to a king. And so the Proverbs 31 woman is a representation of those of us who've been called out of darkness into the wonderful light, and we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, as the Bible refers to him as our husband, and we are like a bride. And so the Proverbs 31 woman begins to operate with the end in mind and not just focused on the daily challenges of life. Look what it says about her in Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 15. The writer says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." That's a picture of who the church should be as the bride of Christ. "She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing the food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household, the day's work for her servant girls." In other words, she's a woman who is preparing, and she's diligent in her daily tasks because, you know what, she has a focus on who her husband is, and the daily tasks don't keep her from moving forward. The Bible says there in verse 25 of Proverbs 31, it says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she lasts without fear of the future." That's an amazing statement. And what this means is this lady knows who she belongs to. She belongs to a king who sits by the city gates every single day. And I do believe we can operate with prize eyes when we understand who we belong to, whose we are. Yes, we're going to face difficulty day in and day out as we move forward. Our faith is going to be challenged day in and day out. But the Bible says if we'll keep the end in mind, then we can be diligent. We can be consistent. We can keep moving forward in spite of what is in front of us. We got to have prize eyes. Come on, church. It's believing. It's focusing on what is still in front of us, not what has happened to us. And so many people are basically stalemated in life because they don't value the future over the past. This lady values what is still in front of us. Understand, the grace of God has been revealed. However, the future that God has in store for us will be revealed in the coming days. I don't know if it's going to be this afternoon. I don't know if it's going to be next week. I don't know if it's going to be 10 years from now. I don't know if it's going to be after your grandkids grow up and they have a family too. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe it's going to happen. And because I believe it's going to happen, I don't have to sit around and pout about what has happened in the past, because the grace of God has been revealed in my life. I know who Jesus is. I know the Spirit of God he's deposited in me. I'm going to walk towards what he has said, and I believe he's going to return in the future so I can have prize eyes and I don't have to pout about the past. So many of us are pouting about what has happened instead of focusing on what can happen. You live in the what is, and understand Jesus has revealed his grace, and Jesus is going to gloriously appear in front of us in the future. But right now, we're operating in what we would know as the church age, as an age filled with amazing grace. But the question is, are you operating in God's good grace? Do you understand the unmerited favor of God? Have you trusted that God came to earth to reveal who he is to humanity? Have you trusted that God put on a skin and walked on this earth perfectly in spite of all the world challenges? Have you trusted that God came to do it for you personally so that you didn't have to pay the penalty for sin? God came to revive your spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit so you can come alive in Christ Jesus and you can begin to walk in this amazing favor. Come on, church. Set your mind on things that are still yet to come. And I believe that some people have a dark picture of the future, and it's why they don't walk in amazing grace. But what's amazing is God gave a revelation to John after all the evil was over and what the future looked like. And my friend, if you don't have the end in mind, let these seven verses found in Revelation 21 begin to change your life. Because I know that some of us are facing difficult moments right now in our own life circumstances. But I also know the one who holds the future. And he has penned in Revelation 21 what that future looks like. It's a picture of what is still yet to come. And this is what it says. The writer says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. It had gone away. And the sea was also gone. The sea representing evil, representing chaos. He says, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. He said, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. The Bible goes on to say, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. I am making all things new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and it's true. And he also said, it is finished. Now it's over. See, a lot of people think when Jesus said it is finished on the cross that everything was over. But Jesus said it is finished. No longer does sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard, have to dominate your life, because I have paid for sin on a cross, but I resurrected from a grave and I ascended to heaven and I sit at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, right now, waiting for every single enemy to be put under my feet. And then I'm coming back for my people, and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And then it will be finished. Then it will be over. Then all things will begin to look anew. But right now, I want you to know that you have to operate in this life by faith in God's amazing grace. Because it is by faith in his grace that we are saved. And Jesus came to reveal God's amazing grace to us, but we got to put our own personal faith in who he is. And the Bible says he rose from the grave and he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and he poured out his spirit on men and women alike so we could operate in this crazy world. with amazing grace. See, the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can continue to look forward to what is ahead and operate in our daily life as if, you know what, that one day what God has said in his word is going to be true. He also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. My friend, that's a picture of what the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior and what will happen. It's a snapshot. So I don't know what you're going through today, but I do know that you can get through whatever you're going through if you will get this end in mind of who God is and what he's doing in this world. I know some things have come against you. Some things have come against me. I've had my own challenges. I've struggled with my own sin. I've struggled with, you know what, my own life. But my Bible says that the grace of God has been revealed. The unmerited favor of God has been revealed. I need to accept that by faith, begin to walk in it by faith. And then I need to look forward to what still is yet to come. And it's the glorious appearing of my great God and Savior. I have to put the end in mind. I have to believe God. I have to trust God. It doesn't mean the facts aren't the facts. But what it does mean is in the facts of what is happening, I have a faith that supersedes the facts because of the truth of who God is and what he said in his word. This is what it means to operate by faith and not by sight. In other words, it's not denying the truth. The truth is the truth. And bad things happen to good people. We live in a world that has evil in it. We live in a world that has accidents in it. We live in a world that has breakups in it. Those are truths. But the reality of it, the truth is this too, that you know what? God comes into our life to begin to transform our life so we can operate in his good grace, in his unmerited favor, and look forward to the day of his great return when he will put all things in the abyss and we will all live with this great God forever and ever and ever. There will be no more tears. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. He's going to wipe every tear from the cheeks of his children. I believe it with my heart, and I'm looking forward to the glorious appearing. If you're only looking forward to next week, you're going to lose hope. What is your hope in? Your hope has to be higher than your pain. Your hope has to be more than what is. Your hope has to be in a God who's going to do what he says he's going to do. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega, and he ain't finished yet. Come on. Operate in it. Prize eyes don't only look to the end, but prize eyes value discipline. Values discipline. It's amazing because this Proverbs 30 woman was, one woman was disciplined in all she did. She was diligent in all she did. She was consistent in all she did. She valued discipline because of the future that was out in front of her. But see, we won't value discipline if we don't value the future. I mean, if you have a future picture of you getting healthy, strong, and muscular, you value daily discipline of going to the gym. In other words, it's a picture you have in front of you. And so you make it a point to be disciplined and going to the gym and working out. And if you value the future you have with God and what God's gonna do in this future, and we're not all gonna be flying around in the sky with wings like angels. No, we're gonna be humans. And we're going to be humans living in a kingdom. And we're going to be living in the kingdom of God. And we're going to be living in a space and a place. And we're going to have assignments. And we're going to be operating in this kingdom. I believe it with all my heart. I believe the word of God teaches this with all of my heart. And I believe that God rewards those who are disciplined in their faith. And there's going to be amazing things that happen in the future. But you won't be disciplined in your walk with God here on this earth if you don't have a proper picture of what is still yet to come. Did you get what it said? It said, this earth and the heavens will pass away. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth and new Jerusalem that comes down and merges with earth. I don't know completely, and I don't completely grab hold of that. But what I do know is what is up there will come down here. It'll all merge together, and we're going to walk fully as human beings with the abyss put in all evil put in the abyss. And the Bible says we're going to get a new body, and we're going to walk fully in that new body, in this new earth. That's the future. But see, the Bible says this, the Holy Spirit is given to us so we can be disciplined. Look what it says, John 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you, look at this, about the future. He'll tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. So it is the Spirit of the living God that begins to minister to my spirit and tell me about the future by the Word of God. And when I trust the Spirit of God and the Word of God, he begins to transform my spirit. And I begin to walk with the Spirit and not with the flesh. It's the way Galatians 5 says it. So what does that mean? That means that he is disciplining me to walk towards the future that he has planted inside of me. But if you don't have a proper understanding from the Spirit of the living God about your future, you'll never have the discipline to go to the daily gym with the Spirit. See, the Spirit of God is referred to in the scripture as one who guides you, one who comforts you, one who instructs you, one who empowers you in your gifting to be who God has designed you to be. This is how the Holy Spirit of God is described in the scripture. And the Holy Spirit of God, I like to say it this way, is clearly given to me as a personal trainer. He is given to me to personally train me towards the future that he has planted inside of me. And I'm able to get through daily challenges and moments in this world because I understand that what he is doing in me is developing my character, my skill, and my purpose. He's for me. He's not against me. My friend, he's for you too. But if you begin to think the great coach is against you because of the things that are coming in your life and you don't see them as opportunities, then you're really missing who God is. The Bible says that he who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. So what that means is he who lives in me can begin to coach me out of these trying moments, and I can put my faith in this great God and operate according to his spirit in this world and overcome a lot of things. It's called prize eyes. Prize eyes don't pout about the challenges in life. Prize eyes trust the promise of God and say, you know what? With God, all things are possible, and I'm going to get through this come hell or high water because I got the discipline in my life to do what he says. If we operate by our feelings instead of by faith in who God is and his spirit, we'll be misguided and misdirected. Because the reality of it is feelings are deceiving. How you feel sometimes is very deceiving. Because again, let's use the gym analogy. Most people don't feel like going to the gym. But the reality of it is they know by faith it's going to develop muscle. I'm not talking to go to the gym and, you know, so everybody looks at you lifting weights and you to carry on a conversation for 35 people or whatever. I'm talking about you go there for a purpose. The reality of it is you will develop if you go there for a purpose and you begin to follow the instructions of a trainer or something in your life and you begin to do that over and over again. But most people don't feel like going. And so the question is, are you going to develop your muscles by going to the gym or are you going to go with your feelings? Most people, including me, oftentimes go with my feelings. Well, today, my hamstring just don't feel like it. And what I'm trying to declare to you is this is how most of us operate in life. I don't feel like it today. And God's saying, understand, listen to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Listen to the Spirit. Walk by faith. Don't walk to the desires of the flesh. Listen to the Spirit of the living God. This is the way. Walk in it. And if we will walk in it, we will begin to have victory. But prize eyes have to value discipline. Have to value the discipline of the Holy Spirit. I've discovered that the Holy Spirit, a lot of times, he don't make me feel good. But he can make me feel good. He ministers to me. He comforts me. But a lot of times, the Holy Spirit is saying, get off your duff and do some stuff. You need to come out of that slumber. You need to come out of that laziness. You need to come out of what they said. You need to come out of the past. You need to walk to the power of the Holy Spirit and see what I can do in you and what I can do through you. Why don't you join up with what I'm doing in the world? It's a spirit of valuing discipline. Prize eyes, lastly, I wrote this. Don't only start with the end in mind. Don't only value discipline, but prize eyes. They continue to focus on the prize in spite of the obstacles. Let me say this to you today. Don't be obsessed with the obstacles. The obstacles of the past or the obstacles that are out in front of you. And the reality of it is many of us have stopped what God wants to do in our life because of a past decision that we have made, and we're thinking that God can't use us still. It might have been a past success. It might be a past failure. But our minds become obsessed with the obstacles. And if you're going to have prize eyes, you can't be fixated on the obstacles. You have to be fixated on the prize. You have to be fixated on the victory that God can have in your life. I love the story of King David because it's interesting because that story of King David teaches that a reward should basically be in our sight lines. In other words, I want you to think about the reward of the future, not the failures of the past. And King David, as he fights the giant Goliath that was holding back the whole nation of Israel from being all God created them to be, the Bible says when he comes to the front line that the King Saul said, look, whoever defeats this giant, because everybody was afraid, whoever defeats this giant will get a reward. They won't have to pay any more taxes. They're going to get to marry one of my daughters and all this kind of stuff. David steps up and he says something amazing. He says, what did he say the reward's going to be? They said what the reward's going to be. He comes back a second time and he says, repeat the reward because I'm willing to fight the fight if there's truly going to be a reward for what I do. And I need you to know today that there's a reward for your discipline and your faith walk in this journey. And if you let the obstacles, the giants that are in front of you, the things that are behind you, keep you away from what God wants to do. You know what? Then this the enemy's way of holding you back from all of who God says you can be. And again, we have to be focused on the prize in spite of the obstacles. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and then down in 18 through 21. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He says, in spite of the past, Because he's referring to, he's had a successful past from the world's point of view. He says, I press on towards the prize that God is calling us to. He says, for I have told you often before, and I'll say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct show that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. It's all they think about. It's what is. I'm encouraging you today to understand what has happened. The grace of God has been revealed. I'm encouraging you today to walk in this life of faith, looking towards what will be. He will return and do what he says he's going to do. He says this. He says, they only focus on life here on earth, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. That's an amazing statement that Apostle Paul says. And again, he's teaching here to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, man, I have credentials from a worldly standpoint of view about my past. He says, you know, if it's about being of Hebrew descent, I'm the Hebrew of all Hebrews. If it's about being educated in biblical things, I'm at the top of the class. He says, if it's about facing troubles, I've faced them all, Paul says. But he says, in reality, I count all those things as rubbish compared to the future I have with Christ Jesus. In other words, he says, I'm not going to let those things become obstacles. I'm not going to be obsessed with those things. I'm going to set my mind on things above and the return of Christ. And I'm going to keep on keeping on in the present circumstances because I got prize eyes in me. I don't have a pouty face. And the reality, if you're going to operate in the current situations, you got a choice. You can pout about today, or you can refocus on what is still yet to come and watch God show up in your life and do amazing, amazing things. Understand, his grace has been revealed. Have you put your faith in his grace, and are you operating towards the future? Because it has not happened yet. I think some of us are stuck in this age. We think this is all there's going to be. And my Bible says that heaven will pass away, that earth will pass away, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth with a great God as he originally designed it to walk with his people, be with his people, and there will be no evil in this world. There will be no more tears. There will be no more pain. There will be no more destruction. He's going to put it in the abyss. And my friend, your faith has to operate towards that goal. Because if your faith is operating towards any other goal, you're going to be left hopeless, broken, discouraged. I want to encourage you what the Word of God says. It's not over until he says it's over. And he has not said it is finished. He will say it is finished when he returns and does what he says he's going to do and set up his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Do you have the faith to believe it? Because if you have the faith to believe it, then God will begin to work in your life and through your life, through the mountains, the valleys, and all the things in between. God is who he says he's going to do. Let's don't give up yet. Let's believe God. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what has been revealed. And God, still what is yet to come. I thank you for allowing us to live in this time period, in this age, to get a fresh revelation of what you're still going to do, but also to trust in what you've already done. God, you've done amazing things in this earth through the generations. But God, you are going to set up your final kingdom. I don't know, Jesus, when you're coming back, but I believe with all my heart you are coming back. And God, I want us to be a people that live as if it's going to be tomorrow. God, it may not be tomorrow. It may be next week. It may be next month. It may be 15 years from now. It may be hundreds of years from now. But God, may we be a people that trust in your promise. May we walk by the power of your Spirit. And God, may we overcome the desires of our flesh. May we be a people that aren't overcome by fear and obstacles and mess ups and failures. But God, may we trust in who you say we are and begin to step into it and walk in it. God, you're an amazing God. If there's one here today that hasn't trusted you, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would say, God, today I turn from living life the way I choose to live it. And God, today I want to come underneath your authority. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to give me the power of the Holy Spirit to walk daily through this life. And God, I want to be coached by you. My friend, if you've never trusted Christ, I need you to understand he came to this earth so you could be freed of your sin, so you could be forgiven of your sin, and you could begin to walk in that freedom. And I just pray that you trust that by faith today. Just say something like this. Say, God, today I turn from my sin. I trust Christ, and I want to walk to the power of the new life. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer. Amen.